this morning, we have to go through two books in 40 minutes. So, to try very fast. I assume you have gone through Mark and Luke. Matthew is talking about the kingdom of heaven, where Jesus Christ is the king. So he exercised the power as a king to establish his kingdom. And Mark represents the oxen, the servitude. Jesus Christ came to serve as an oxen. So this is the main theme. Let's turn to the book of Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 43 to 45. Yet it shall be so among you, and whoever desire to be great among you shall be your servant. Verse 44. Whoever of you desire to be first shall slave of all. Verse 45. And even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So it will be the key verse of the whole book of Mark. And according to verse 43 to verse 5, who is the greatest one in the kingdom of heaven? Who is the greatest one in the kingdom of heaven? Caleb Zhang is here. Who is the greatest one in the kingdom of heaven? Go to the Bible and look at it. Mark chapter 10, verse 43 to 45. Kevin Lee. Who is the greatest one? Is he here, Kevin Lee? Oh, okay. Who is the greatest one in the kingdom of heaven? Wow, you're fast, so you cannot speak too much. Jesus Christ. Now, according to the scripture which I read, of course, it's Jesus Christ. Beside him, who is the greatest one? According to verse 10, 43 to 45. Joseph, King. According to verse 3, let me read one more time. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desire to be the greatest among you shall be your servant. So who is the greatest one? Servant. Oh, when we come to the church to serve, then we will be the greatest one. Even the church have elder, deacon, preacher, or the church council member, or the title of chairperson, that's only to indicate their office in the church. And that is not a hierarchy system. Oh, elder is the top. What? Deacon the second, and preacher is the third. Oh, and church council. And this group of people are so-called the church leader, and we are the ordinary church member. No, it's not that kind of concept. That only indicates their office in the church. And who is the greatest one? The one who serves. So even though you are very young, you don't have any title, but still, it's possible you can be the greatest one if you serve. So we come here, we distribute the duty, you have to clean the toilet, wash the dishes, do this and do that, is to learn the servitude. Maybe in your home, your parents serve you, right? But you come here, we have to learn to serve. Because Mark chapter, the book of Mark, is to encourage us to be like Jesus as a servant. And then verse 45, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. You know, in the society, the greater one always waiting to be served. But the greatest one is Jesus Christ. He came to the world to serve, not to be served. So always it's good for us to serve others. That shows our humility, and that shows we imitate Jesus Christ. And through the servitude to each other, the church can grow through our servitude. So it's very important. So it's very important now when we come to the church. One day you may be very successful. Or some true seeker, they may be successful. Or some church member, they can be very successful. They have a position, they have a fame, they have money, they have this and that, right? But when we come to the church, everything in the world we have to put aside, outside the church. When we come to the church, everybody has to lower down ourselves inwardly. Outwardly, the difference you cannot change, right? The outside difference is difficult to change because God gives everyone different. Yeah. But inwardly, it's easy, it's possible we can be equal. Outwardly, maybe we are not equal, regardless of talent, gift, family background, outlooking, this and that, maybe we are different. But inwardly, everybody can be same. How? We learn from Jesus Christ to lower down ourselves. And how can Jesus Christ serve people? Then look into the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Himself of no reputation, taking the form of bond servant, and among in the likeness of man. So he lowered down himself. God lowered down as a human being, and human being lowered down as a servant. So he was able to serve because in the bottom of his heart, he really lowered down himself. This is called humble. So how can Jesus, God in heaven, serve people? It's because he lowered down himself like a servant. So he was able to wash the feet of the his disciple. So chapter 10, verse 43 to 45 is a key verse of the whole book of Mark. This verse reflects Jesus Christ as a servant of the law. And what should we do after we become the disciple of Jesus Christ? Verb, Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Verse 34. And when he had called the people to himself, with his disciple also, he said to them, whoever desire to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. According to verse 34. What is the requirement to be a disciple? Okay, go quickly. John, so what is the requirement to be a disciple? How many steps? Three steps. If you want to be a believer, it's very simple. I believe, I repent, and I receive the baptism. Then I am a believer. But if we want to be a disciple, then it's something more than that. Disciple, first you have to deny yourself. The second is bear your cross. The third is follow Jesus. Right? If I deny myself, I bear the cross, I don't want to walk. I still cannot follow him. So once we start to follow him, then the faith becomes dynamic. And the faith is not standing still. The faith is keep on moving. Now, so sometimes we believe Jesus for a long time, we feel nothing new. Every day the same, right? The I last year is the same with the same person, and it's the same with the next year. No improvement. Why? Because we don't follow Jesus. If we follow Jesus, we will be transformed. And the first step, deny ourselves. This is a very important word, self-denial. Yes, everybody, we have I, myself, self-ego. But unless we deny ourselves, we cannot follow other people. So to be a Christian, there are some milk, there are some solid food. Milk, it drinks good, feel good. So when you come to the church, you listen a lot of feel good sermon. That's fine. Jesus love you. Jesus give you peace. He will comfort you. Jesus will do this, do that for you. Right? So you become master, Jesus' servant, to fulfill your need. Well, that's just the milk. Yes, you can quote the Bible a lot. Jesus can fulfill our needs. But if you want to grow, you cannot only drink the milk. Can you drink the milk when you are 15? No, you have to eat the solid food. What is the solid food? And this is the solid food. If you want to be a disciple, really live like Jesus Christ, first you have to deny yourself. What the deny myself means, you have to give up your own authority about yourself and hand over your authority to Jesus Christ. Let Jesus Christ become your master, become your Lord. Let Jesus Christ control you. I'm willing to submit. That's called deny yourself. It's not easy. You know, it's not easy. So self-denial, sometimes it takes a long, long time to learn it before Jesus Christ. The second step is to bear your cross. If somebody some elderly people say, my body always sick, this is the cross I have to bear. Do you agree or you don't agree? Somebody have some sickness and they say, oh, this is my cross. I have to bear. Do you agree or disagree? Xiang. How many Xiang? Only one, right? Only two sentences. Agree, disagree. Or third one, you don't know. You don't know. Okay. If I, my body has some problem, this is my cross, that means the non-believer also has a cross to bear. So what does cross mean? You just look into Jesus Christ. What does cross mean? Now, Jesus had no sin, so he was not supposed to be crucified. But it was the will of God for him to be crucified, shed the blood, pay a price as a ransom to redeem us out of sin. And that is called bearing the cross. So bearing the cross means when you want to submit yourself to the will of Jesus Christ, whatever kind of sacrifice or suffering, and that is the cross. And one day, if you decide, I don't want to follow Jesus anymore, and that pain and that burden will be gone away, and that is the cross. No. So deny ourselves first, and then we're to bear the cross. So what does the cross mean? Some of you, after your conversion to Christ, probably your parent who is atheist were against you, right? And some of you, if you want to keep the Sabbath, probably you need to sacrifice a good job, and you take the not so high paid job, and that sacrifice is your cross, right? So we have to bear the cross, and then we can follow Jesus. Then our faith is moving, is dynamic, and we follow Jesus, we have an experience of different things. So this is the key words. So Jesus Christ was a servant of God, and if we want to become a servant of God, we have to deny ourselves, follow him, and bear the cross. So just like summertime, there are so many spiritual events, SSC, RSTS, MVP, NYTS, right? Where do we find the counselor, right? They are supposed to go out to have fun. But when the church has the need, they respond to church calling. They sacrifice something, and that can be a cross. And this kind of sacrifice will not be in vain, because nobody sacrifice for God will not be remembered by God. So, if we look into the teaching material, it's very simple, right? The outline, the book of Mark, the outline, chapter 1 to chapter 10 is servant service. And chapter 11 to 16, the servant's sacrifice. So the first 10 chapters is Jesus' servitude. And then the last 16 chapters is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And then in Mark, I come back quickly, go through chapter 1. Chapter 1 is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And in chapter 1, you can see the authority of Jesus Christ. The first authority is Jesus' teaching. So verse 21 and 22, they were amazed about his authority. Right? He was not like a scribes. And the second authority is verse 27, authority to cast out the demon. The third authority is hearing the mother-in-law of Simon, verse 30. So Jesus has authority. The kingdom of God is not only in words, the kingdom of God is also in power. So we come to the church, if the kingdom of God fulfilled in our heart, we will be filled with the power of God. We will experience a lot of mighty miracle, wonder, and sign. And where comes authority? In end of chapter 1, verse 35, the second day, early in the morning, Jesus got up and went to the wilderness and prayed there. So before Jesus worked, he spent a lot of time in prayer. So it's good for us to live a life of prayer every day. Either before you go to school, or after you come back from school, or either. Before you go to school, you pray for 15 minutes. After you come back from school, you pray another 30 minutes. If we keep on praying in this way, then gradually we will receive power from God. Do you know, if one day you pray for 15 minutes, 1 year, how long do you pray? This is mathematics. One day you pray 15 minutes, 1 year, how long do you pray? 365 divided by what? By 4, right? 4, 15 minutes is 1 hour. So, how many hours? One day you pray for 15 minutes, 1 year you pray for how many hours? So simple math. Huh? 91, right? Now, 10 years, how long do you pray? 910 hours. It's long, do you know? When have you ever prayed for 910 hours? Even NYC, you add up, every day you pray about 2 hours, 14 days is only 28 hours. But if every day you pray for 15 minutes, 20 years, you pray 900 something, 10 years, 910. 20 years, 1800. It's a lot. So if we want to receive the power of live a life of prayer, and then we can do something for God. So this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus had compassion to everyone because they are just like a sheep without shepherd. So what motivates Jesus Christ to serve? Because he has compassion. You know, why do you have to work? A lot of times we work not because of money. We work because we pursue some kind of self-fulfillment. We feel we are a very useful person. So a lot of people who retire, they still don't work. They still want to work because they want to have a feeling they are useful. And this kind of feeling can last the life longer, right? But when we serve in the church, we are not doing that for that purpose. We serve in the church because we love God. We serve the church because we have compassion to the people in the world. We want to preach the gospel to them. We want to pray for them so they can believe and they can receive the blessing. And that's exactly the reason of Jesus' servitude, out of his compassion. And start from 11 is a sacrifice of the servant. So start from the 11, Jesus moving towards the direction of Jerusalem. You know, it takes 6 chapters out of 16 chapters talking about the last week of Jesus' life. You know, a person's last week always right down on bed, right? A person's last week always been forgotten. Who pay attention to your last week, right? But the Jesus Christ's last week of the life is the most worrying, is the most touching week. Because the last week he was moving towards Jerusalem, waiting to be crucified. So he was fully known that something is going to happen. The bitter cup he has to drink, but he still determined to go forward. Why? Because he loved. So last week, start from chapter 10 to chapter 16. And then, the chapter 14 onwards talk about Jesus was betrayed and Jesus was under trial and Peter denied Jesus for 3 times. And then 15, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And 16 is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then end of 16 is the Great Commission. The end of 16, what was the Great Commission? Which verse? Verse 16, verse 15. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he who believes and baptized will be saved. So this is a great commission. Last week, there was an MVP in Irvine Church. About 50 people attend. Some of you may attend it, that MVP. And they spent 2 times to go out and preach the gospel in the surrounding community. It ended up Friday evening, we have an evangelical service. There were 13 truth seekers come. And Saturday was some, and still some, the following week, still some coming. So we can see if we really do it, some people is going to respond to the gospel. So the reason we don't have too many truth seekers in the church, because we don't do enough. So the Great Commission is to preach the gospel. So this is the book of Mark. Very simply, go through it. Now we're going to the book of Luke. The book of Luke has 24 chapters. Even though we go through it very quickly, but I hope that you can spend time really to read it. The key verse. Start from verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Luke, a physician, writes with the compassion, chapter 1, verse 1. Inasmuch as many have taken into the hand a setting order, narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us. Verse 2, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitness and minister of the words delivered among them to us. So Luke was a physician. Physician is more, the mind is more logic, scientific trend. So he collects all the information regarding to Jesus Christ, and he organized it systematically, and he wrote it down systematically, and it's become the book of Luke, the same author with the book of Mark. Now, there are few parts make us feel that Luke is talking about the Son of Man. Is humanity. Especially in, if you read Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 start from 47, start from 41 to 52, talk about when Jesus was 12 years old, what did he do when he was 12 years old? Most of you are already over 12 years old. If you are 12 years old, you are not qualified to be here. Physically, we are 12 years old, older than that. But let us think about mentally, how old are we? We are thinking about spiritually, how old are we? When he was 12 years old, he followed his parents Jerusalem to observe the festival. Today, what does that mean? Spiritual convocation, NYDS. You're more than 12 years old. You come here, not, is that because anybody forcing you to come? Or you yourself waiting to come? I know some of the attendants before, not this year, I don't know what your motive. Some of the parents to bribe them. If you go, go to Boeing Park, I will pay for you for what Disneyland. And if you go, you have another week of vacation. But Jesus did not do for that reason. He just followed the parents and become a routine. Then something miraculous happened. after the festival feast over, and then Jesus purposely stayed in the church for 3 days. What did Jesus do? 46, he was asking and listening with the teachers. So he had a very strong desire to learn, to grow when he was 12 years old. So this is talk about his human side. So yeah, Jesus, when he was in a young age, what did he do? And then in the 12 years old, verse 49, he already mind the Father's business. He cared very much about God's business. And when he was 12 years old, his wisdom and stature grow. Wisdom is inside, stature is outside. And God and man are in favor of him. Let's grow. Both man and God really like him when he was 12 years old. And when he was 12 years old, his spirituality even higher than his mother. So when he talked, do you know I have to mind my father's business? He was, his mother was unable to understand. But when he was 12 years old, he followed his parents back home. So this is Jesus' human side when he was 12 years old. And then we look into chapter 19. Chapter 19 talk about Jesus came to the world to save the lost. Okay. And chapter 15, you can see lost and found. Chapter 15. How many parables in chapter 15 talk about lost and found? Right? The first loss is the one sheep. So the shepherd put aside the 99 one and found the lost one. So Jesus, as a son of man, he has compassion. So he came to serve, to find the lost sheep. The second, lost and found. Verse 8 to verse 10. If a person lost for $1, he is going to spend a lot of money, a lot of time, the whole night looking around the house for the $1. Of course, the money in that time compared with nowadays, that $1 probably is $10,000. It's a lot. It's a lot. So if we find see the importance of the soul, we would have to spend a lot of effort to try to find the person and come and try to encourage the person to come back to the Lord. The third one is the prodigal son. Start from chapter 15, verse 11. The father and the prodigal son. The father represents the Lord Jesus Christ, and the prodigal son refer to every one of us. God loves us so much, but we have no feeling about God's love. We just try to live a life without God. Why? Why did the prodigal son choose to pack everything and move to a very far away place? You don't know the reason. Why do you want to choose a school so far away from home? I probably just said reason. Why a lot of students want to choose to study a school very far away from home? Because your parents cannot come back. control you. You have freedom. You want to do everything you want. So the prodigal son, the reason the prodigal son get lost is because he don't want his parents to care about him. So he moved very far away. The reason people don't want to worship God is because they don't want to lose so-called freedom. Once you believe God, there's a lot of restriction of the words of God you don't observe. But that kind of freedom without God eventually will become the beginning of poverty. Poverty means lack of God's blessing. Poverty means without inner fulfillment. So that will become the beginning of suffering. So eventually, the prodigal son awakened, verse 17. Why he was awakened? Because he compared the life when he lived together with his father, and he compared with the life he chose for himself, a life without God, so free. And he found out a life without father is almost making him dead. So he was awakened and come back to the father. And when he come back to the father, what did the father do? Do you remember the story? Even if you don't read the Bible, when the prodigal son come back to the father, what did the father do? First, give him a robe and clean one. The second, give him a ring, right? The third, kill the lamb, right? To entertain him. The fourth one, so you can see there's a lot of very, very important meaning, right? The rope represents righteousness. God forgive our sin, so we regain the righteousness of God. And then the ring can represent Holy Spirit. The sign belong to Him. And the feet, well, on the shoes, then the peace, according to Ephesians chapter 6, and then the lamb represents what? The blessing, like a feast. So, there are three parables talking about Jesus came to the world looking for the lost. This evening we are going to continue the book of Luke, and then we will go into the book of John. Let's bring some.